The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. And I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen, I say to you, if two or three of you are gathered on earth and agree on anything, and you pray together, it shall be granted to you by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel reading is taken from the book of Matthew, and it does not have a parallel in the other three synoptic Gospels. Of course, it's never mentioned in John, but in Mark and in Luke, it's not mentioned. It's a protocol about reconciliation in the church of Matthew. And as I reflected on this during the week, I read the scriptures a week in advance. So on Sunday night last week, I read this Gospel, and it caused me all sorts of confusion and concern. So during the week, I read many commentaries on it. And the thing that I wonder the most about was, if this person who does not wish to be reconciled, does not listen to the church, treat him like a tax collector or a Gentile, what does that mean? Well, many of the commentaries said that's excommunicate him, throw him out. I said, wow, that's a long way from the kindness and the forgiveness and all the teachings we have about Jesus Christ. So I struggled with searching for a meaning to this notion of treating him like a tax collector and a Gentile. So finally, out of desperation, I called my good friend, the biblical scholar, Professor Patrick Mullen, and said, "Patrick, hey, what does this really mean?" And he began to explain it to me. But let me look at this notion of excommunication. We should have learned from history about the effect of excommunication. Let me give you two examples, one in the past and one in the recent, in recent past here. In the year 1054, there was a major dispute between Constantinople, the Eastern Church, and the Pope of Rome. The Patriarch and the Pope were in a major conflict about many things, but much of it had to do with the politics of power. So much so was the conflict fierce that the Pope of Rome excommunicated the Patriarch in Constantinople, and in turn, the Patriarch excommunicated the Pope. I mean, it's amazing. Would you believe that the Pope and the Patriarch will not meet for 900 years? 900 years later, in 1964, in Jerusalem, Paul VI, the Pope, met with Athenagoras, the Patriarch of the Eastern Church. They met in Jerusalem. And they prayed together, and it was agreed that they'd lift the excommunications after 900 years. Meantime, in the 900 years, many atrocities, especially during the Crusader time, many atrocities were visited upon the Orthodox, the Constantinople people, because they were heretics, they were out there, they were excommunicated. In 2001, the saintly Pope John Paul II will make a public apology to the Church of the Patriarch for all the things that have happened since 1054. So the Pope won because he excommunicated Constantinople. They won because they excommunicated him. It was what we call a Pyrrhic victory, which means you lose more than you gain. Now, in recent times, I saw the harsh exercise of authority in the church. In 1968, I was very young priest, I was 28, and I became Cardinal McIntyre's secretary. And in 1968, there was a huge division, a sad conflict between the Immaculate Heart Sisters and the Cardinal. The Immaculate Heart Sisters were a phenomenal group of women that I knew very well. There were 300 members of the community in the Archdiocese. 200 of them taught in our Catholic schools. They wanted to update, after the traditions of the Vatican Council, they wanted to update, but the Cardinal didn't allow it. So there was this very sad conflict between the women of the Immaculate Heart and the Cardinal of the Archdiocese. It was resolved in favor of the Cardinal, and the women were devastated, and against their wills, many of them, they were dispensed from their vows as members of a religious order, and the religious order dissolved. Very tragic thing. It was the unbridled exercise of power where you can't find a reconciliation. And by the way, what they were trying to update way back then would be very normal now. And that's the sad thing. The Cardinal won, but he lost. And the sisters lost. So this notion of excommunication and the exercise of power is something that needs to be discussed. Whatever power is given to the leaders of the church is given to serve, not to control. Now, that's another homily some other time. But that's very important. Look at the servant Jesus. Look at the one who calls in sinners, tax collectors. So I called my friend Patrick Mullen, the professor. I said, Pat, how do I reconcile this harsh judgment if the person isn't agreeing with the church, treating me like a Gentile or a tax collector? And Pat said, well, you have to understand how Jesus treated Gentiles and tax collectors. Oh, he said, go back and read the call of Matthew, a tax collector. It's in chapter 9 in Matthew, and I read it carefully. It's in all three synoptic gospels. He was a tax collector. Jesus called the tax collector to be one of his 12. He said, read how Jesus deals with sinners. Right after he calls Matthew to be one of his disciples, he has dinner with tax collectors and sinners. He welcomes all people, No judgment, no demand, no conditions. They were called to break bread, called by Jesus to belong. And whatever conversion might happen will not happen because of authority. It will happen because of relationships. So the teaching of this is, you're going to treat them like Gentiles and tax collectors, which means you're going to break bread with them. You're going to sit down and listen and belong. Read the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus meets a Gentile, a Samaritan woman, married five times, living with a man who's not her husband. He doesn't excommunicate her. He doesn't make a judgment. He listens, and she goes through a conversion because there is a bond of listening. What does it mean to us? Anytime we divide in a family or in a church, we lose. Something is lost. I know I've seen it in my own family, where there is a division and somebody is excluded or somebody feels judged or alienated, the family is wounded. No different than the church. When anyone asks to belong to the community of faith and is told you don't qualify, you don't fit, you're a Gentile or a tax collector, then the church is wounded. So it must be, in the end, the doctrine which guides us must be, is and must be, all are welcome. That's the teaching. Something that at first glance seems very distant and awkward, upon reflection and a study and a prayer, becomes a marvelous teaching, the gift of the heart, the Jesus who blesses the just and the unjust, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, that Jesus has this welcoming, the openness, the belonging, the understanding, the accepting of people who are desperately imperfect. Well, I have no doubt that, would you believe that in this congregation today, we have some heretics. We have some people who differ with things, but you belong. And even in your struggles, you belong. And even in your differences, you belong. Because that's the manner in which Jesus treats the tax collectors and Gentiles who come to pray with us. Amen.